Will the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson. Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan.
Here.
Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Mercer.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Philp. Philp.
Here.
Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Semlick.
Here.
Shepperson.
Here.
Steward.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
60 present.
The prayer today is again offered by Pastor Robert Schmidt, representing St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Pastor Schmidt.
Let us pray. Creator and Redeemer, as we come to you today, we come and ask for your help, that you may give us the wisdom to see our state for the wonderful gift that it is. We pray that you send us your Spirit to help make decisions that need to be made so that our great state can continue and that people may have their freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep us all safe from all harm and all danger. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a good day.
Thanks again for being here.
See you next time.
Thank you.
Will the House please come to order? The doctor of the day is Dr. Jerry Smith of Cheyenne, and the nurse of the day is Connie Johns from Cheyenne. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 4th, 2009 has been read and that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
Representative Millen, you may have privilege of the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor today and pleasure to introduce a young man from my community and present him with a resolution for his awesome accomplishments. This is a resolution recognizing Jacob Zumo, the national champion for the Junior Individual Documentary Division of the 2008 National History Day Competition, and celebrating the achievements of someone so young who took it upon himself to understand how history shapes our society. Be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the 60th Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Whereas Jacob, the son of Tom and Ann Zumo, is an 8th grade student at Cheyenne's McCormick Junior High School. And whereas Jacob's documentary titled Courage of Convictions, The Conflicts of the Black 14, earned him Wyoming's first national championship in the 2008 National History Day's Junior Individual Documentary Division. And whereas Jacob took first place in the 2007 Wyoming History Day competition as a Jessup Elementary student for his documentary titled Mayhem and Massacre, the Anti-Chinese Riot in Rock Springs, Wyoming. And whereas Jacob is already working on his 2009 National History Day project, which focuses on Husband Kimmel, who was the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Fleet at the time of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And whereas more than 500,000 elementary and secondary students participate in the National History Day program each year, which requires participants to choose historical topics related to a theme, conduct extensive primary and secondary research on their chosen topics, draw conclusions about their topics significant to history, and then present their work in original papers, websites, exhibits, performances, and documentaries, which are entered into competitions at the local, state, and national levels, where they are evaluated by professional historians and educators. And whereas, in addition to discovering the exciting world of the past, the History Day program also helps students develop attributes that are critical for future success, including critical thinking and problem-solving skills, research and reading skills, oral and written communication, and presentation skills, self-esteem and confidence, and a sense of responsibility for and involvement in the democratic process. And whereas Jacob received guidance and support for his outstanding History Day projects from his coach and mentor, Jennifer Calvetti, Dr. Jim Johns, and Kathy Ellis, as well as sponsorship of this invaluable program through the American Heritage Center at the University of Wyoming. Whereas Jacob's interest in history also spills over to his volunteer life, where he is currently inputting genealogy information for a Wyoming Greek community database and is currently a candidate for the Congressional Bronze Medal to be awarded in May, which recognizes youth for voluntary services, personal development, and physical fitness. And whereas, as noted in National History Day's mission, the future of democracy depends on an inspired, thoughtful, and informed citizenry, and historical understanding is crucial to that process.
Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the House of Representatives of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Section 1, that we congratulate Jacob on representing Wyoming so capably on the national stage at the 2008 National History Day competition, and extend best wishes for his continued academic success. That the success of the state of Wyoming, the strength of our communities, and the overall vitality of American society depend in great measure upon the dedication of young people like Jacob Zumo, who use their considerable talents and intellect to better themselves, our state, and our nation. that this resolution be transmitted to Jacob Zumo, who represents the best of America's youth, so that he may reflect on and take pride in his academic accomplishments. Signed this 5th day of February 2009, the Wyoming Legislature. Congratulations, Jacob. When the light's on, there you go.
I chose this topic that I did. As some of you may know, it was the Black 14 at the University of Wyoming in 1969. The reason I chose this topic is because it wasn't nationally recognized, but there were many events like this during the time. And all those events have led up to an African-American president that we have today.
Jacob, I was wondering, do you have relatives that have come from Rock Springs? No, really. You just chose those topics on Rock Springs and that era. That's great. Well, congratulations to you again. It's wonderful to have you here today. Good. Keep up the good work, buddy. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, just a moment, Representative Illaway, and congratulations to you, Dr. Johns, for your help with Mr. Zumo. You've done a great job. It's wonderful, Kit. Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two things. The reader, Bill Du Bois, and I have served on the Board of Advisors of the American Heritage Center and have been privileged to have been judges at History Day. If you ever get asked to be a judge at History Day, do it. It is a great, it's really fun to watch these young people, such as Jacob, make their presentations and go on to Washington, D.C. and maybe win the national title like Jacob did. It's a great, if you've never been to the University of Wyoming and seen the American Heritage Center and seen what is there, do so the next time you're in Laramie. You will be amazed at what the state of Wyoming has and what is at the University of Wyoming. The second thing, Mr. Speaker, is that from 12 to 2 in the rotunda, the blue books will be sold again. And if you still miss it, Wendy Madsen and I can make sure that you do get the set that you want. Several of you have already bought them. But if you miss it this afternoon, we'll make sure before you go home that you can do it. Great, great project, and thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chairman Illaway. The Blue Books are a fantastic resource. If you haven't looked at them, it's a wonderful history. So please take advantage of that. There's a good deal for that whole set. We're at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17, introduced by the Mental Health.
First reading of the bill.
Act relating to mental health and substance abuse services.
Senate File 17 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Insurance Discretionary Clause Prohibition Act.
Senate File 62 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, introduced by Senator Escobel.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles, text-based communications prohibited while driving.
Senate File 63 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for the next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 88.
Senate File 88, introduced by Senator Perkins.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to restricted drivers' required use of ignition interlock devices.
Senate File 88 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 95.
Senate File 95, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to insurance medical necessity review procedures.
Senate File 95 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to child protection, child abuse, and neglect amendments.
Senate File 103 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 107.
Senate File 107, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act related to court-supervised treatment programs.
Senate File 107 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 110.
Senate File 110, introduced by Senator Bebout.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to real estate licenses designated real estate agents.
Senate File 110 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 130.
Senate File 130, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to child abuse penalties.
Senate File 130 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by Senator Geis.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the industrial road program.
Senate File 29 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, introduced by Senator Jennings.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation and revenue, property tax deferral program.
Senate File 53 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 111.
Senate File 111, introduced by Senator Schiffer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to employee retirement, first responder retirement contributions.
Senate File 111 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 23.
Senate File 23, introduced by Senator Massey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the education loan repayment program of nursing degrees.
Senate File 23 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 35.
Senate File 35, introduced by Senator Sessions.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the age of majority and health care cessation programs.
Senate File 35 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, introduced by Senator Jennings.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to seat belts on school buses.
Senate File 52 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31, introduced by Senator Hines.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to agriculture and animals, brucellosis surveillance.
Senate File 31 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32, introduced by the Agriculture Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to livestock, Wyoming Livestock Health and Emergency Disease Program.
Senate File 32 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 73.
Senate File 73, introduced by Senator Hines.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to water development, Gillette-Madison Pipeline Project.
Senate File 73 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 105.
Senate File 107, introduced by Senator Peterson.
Excuse me, Senate File 105.
Senate File 105, introduced by Senator Peterson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to weed and pest control districts.
Senate File 105 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 114.
Senate File 114, introduced by Senator Martin.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to animal control.
Senate File 114 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 111. Excuse me, Senate File 11.
Senate File 11, introduced by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state parks and historic sites, State Parks Ranger Authority.
Senate File 11 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 14.
Senate File 14, introduced by the Travel Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to cultural heritage, tourism, and state historic sites.
Senate File 14 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16, introduced by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state symbols, state butterfly.
Senate File 16 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 12.
Senate File 12, introduced by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections regarding campaign contributions.
Senate File 12 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for a consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, introduced by Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections, voter registration deadline.
Senate File 26 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 28.
Senate File 28, introduced by Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to licensing of specified entertainment activities.
Senate File 28 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94, introduced by Senator Jennings.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to campaign finance reporting election periods.
Senate File 94 is referred to Committee Number number 7 corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 102.
Senate File 102, introduced by Senator Perkins.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to county officials and their salaries.
Senate File 102 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 104.
Senate File 104, introduced by Senator Johnson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to group life insurance limitation on dependent coverage.
Senate File 104 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 74.
Senate File 74, introduced by Senator Van Flattern.
First reading of the bill.
An act related to restricted licenses, youthful drivers.
Senate File 74 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 90.
Senate File 90, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to unemployment insurance benefits, spouse of deployed military.
Senate File 90 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 98.
Senate File 98, introduced by Senator Geis.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the regulation of traffic fines for speeding trucks.
Senate File 98 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 101.
Senate File 101, introduced by Senator Hastert.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to mining operations, Trona utility, shot fire certification.
Senate File 101 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 115.
Senate File 115, introduced by Senator Larson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds, investment of state funds, revision.
Senate File 115 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 117.
Senate File 117, introduced by Senator Scott.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act.
Senate File 117 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 132.
Senate File 132, introduced by Senator Scott.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Board of Embalming membership.
Senate File number 132 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 137.
Senate File 137, introduced by Senator Massey.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public health and safety, health care rehabilitation facility.
Senate File 137 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. We are at that order of business. We do have a standing committee report, so we'll go ahead and have a standing committee report.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 249, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Kraft, Yeagie, Lubnow, McKim, McComey, Teeters, No, Connolly, Dirk, sign Representative McComey, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 71.
House Bill 71, introduced by Senator Berger, an act relating to film industry incentives.
House Bill 71 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 96.
House Bill 96, introduced by Representative Buchanan.
House Bill 96, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 100.
House Bill 100, the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, omnibus water bill planning.
House Bill 100, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to community colleges, amendments.
Representative Jorgensen. Ladies and gentlemen, you do have an engrolled version of House Bill 114. It's the orange copy here. And this means that it shows you this is the Committee of the Whole version of House Bill 114 with all of the amendments passed on Committee of the Whole put in there. It does not show what may have been removed. It doesn't show strikeouts. It just shows additions and those types of changes. Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And that explanation is helpful. I must say it's helpful to have the amendments integrated in here. it does lack what was struck by those amendments. So I ask your forbearance, and I have asked for the assistance of the good chairman on this issue, because the questions of community colleges and education funding are very complex. And let me reassure the bringer of the amendment that we're focusing on, the amendment to the original bill, that this is a broad attempt to improve both the governance and funding of the community colleges as a state system. As we heard yesterday, there are some community colleges who have varying amounts of state support, and that it varies radically, and that's a reflection of the size of the area they draw from, the numbers of students in those counties or the population. And I think one of the things that should be reassuring to any community college is that at the end of this process, the funding mechanism for these colleges as a system will be more equitable. By that I mean it will be shared and acknowledged as a part of the state's responsibility for higher education. And I know that in our discussions as a committee, that continually comes up, sometimes unspoken, but comes up in the representations of various colleges or various interests, that many are not unhappy with the present system. And I do not blame those who are not happy with the present system for being unhappy. That's what we're trying to address. And I understand and appreciate the frustration of folks who have not participated in this effort. I know it's gone on a long time and perhaps too long, but it is going to come to a conclusion. As I mentioned yesterday, the statewide strategic plan for the state's interest of community colleges and recognizing the local elements of those colleges is going to be developed. It has to be developed by next fall. And there are lots of opportunities for input to that. Any of you are welcome to attend our meetings or the advisory committee for that strategic plan. We have the representative from Hot Springs County is also present at those. There is Senate representation on that committee. And I think we're getting good input. We're getting an awful lot of it. And I believe that the steps that have been taken and the steps that are proposed in the original bill are helpful to getting us where we all need to be. Specifically, I introduced this amendment to return much of the bill to its original statement. And if you'll note, there are some elements that retain items which were expressed as extremely important, the hold harmless issue and how much it should be for how long, the planning money for CapCon, the money for the ANI Construction Management Group. These are items that need to be addressed if this funding question is going to be rationally dealt with. We, as you all know, we've been getting requests over the last couple of biennium for construction projects in community colleges. And we've dealt with them on an ad hoc basis, not as a state system. This is one of the very important issues that we did get a start on, and that will certainly be addressed as a result of the strategic plan. Again, as I mentioned yesterday, each college has their own strategic plan. Those are certainly considered and will be incorporated into the state's plan. And in identifying the local community's definition or understanding of what their local community's interest is. So I would like to move the amendment, and if there are detailed questions on the elements, I'm hoping for some help from the good chairman of the Joint Education Committee.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For everybody in the audience, you have to, the amendment deals, you have to go back to the white copy. Because what the amendment does, first off, is deletes the entire Standing Committee amendment and then further amends. So we need to be working also off of the white copy. And probably wouldn't be a bad idea if you had this from yesterday. We're not dealing with the Teeter's amendment, which was with the funding, the optional funding for the counties, the mill levies. We're just dealing with the amendments that dealt with the president, the president's and the reserve, the $1.6 million reserve accounts, and things like that, that are start. I think most of those amendments start on page 4 of the Standing Committee amendment. So if you could get all that out, and that's where most of those start, and that would help you track what's going to take place here. And thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's probably easier if you work from your bill on this. And this is the first part of the second division to the first Standing Committee amendment. Page 16, 17, 19, and 20. In the first part of the second division to the first Standing Committee amendment yesterday. And you can track those. The orange and gold copy will just confuse you. I think if you just go in and track it. But the amendment then, today, the second reading amendment number 1, lines 7 and 9, go back in to that area of the that second division of the Standing Committee amendment number 1 yesterday. So what you have there on page 19, it strikes all of lines 1 through 21, and that's why there's that reference to end F on line 7 of the Standing Committee second reading amendment number 1. So,
Mr. Speaker?
Mr. Chairman.
Are they actually on this Engrold Act? Are we saying that the second reading amendments are in the Engrold Act?
In other words, that
Engrold Act is acting, I mean, basically printed up with the second reading amendments in it, which to me makes it very confusing.
Mr. Chairman, yes, the second reading amendments are, the Standing Committee amendments are in it. What I'm saying is ignore the Engrold Act for purposes of this amendment. You won't be as confused. Look at your bill.
Okay, thank you.
And so the second division to Standing Committee Amendment number 1 yesterday also deleted page 19, lines 1 through 21. But what the second reading amendment number 1 is doing today is doing the same thing, that portion of it that speaks to page 19. Representative Jorgensen, would you agree with that?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do agree with that. I was hoping the orange copy would help, but I can understand how it does not.
So second reading amendment number 1 today deletes the first Standing Committee amendment, which was Division 2, because that's the only one that passed. And the first part of Division 2, part of it spoke to exactly what you're seeing here on line 7 through 9 of the second reading amendment number 1. It's the same amendment to these lines and pages that passed yesterday. Okay? Any other questions on that? Representative Teeters, for your first time.
Not right now, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I'm going to reserve it.
Anyone else for their first time?
I guess, Mr. Chairman, if no one else wants to speak, I think we need to go ahead and divide this amendment. I don't know if that was the intention of the bringer, but we need to have a thorough discussion on each one of these because he's changing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I believe 6 different aspects of the bill. So, Mr. Speaker, with your indulgence, I guess I would like to divide second reading amendment number 1. And the first division will be lines 1 through 4. The second division is going to be lines 5 through 10. Would that be correct, Mr. Speaker?
That would be correct.
And then the rest of them will be considered independently. So 11 through 14 and 15 through 18 and 19 through 22 and 23 through 26 and 27 through 29. And I think it would also be good to hear from the good chairman of the appropriations as to a lot of this does deal with the standing committee amendment number 2.
Let's stand at ease for 1 second. I need to track the this as it relates to the standing committee amendment yesterday. The division is appropriate. Division number 1, lines 1 through 4. Division 2, lines 5 through 10. And division 3, lines 11 through 29. We are, Representative Teeters, which division would you like to address first?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We'll start with division 1. And I apologize to the body. It's going to take me just a second.
Division 1. Now go back to your standing committee amendment number 1 yesterday, and division 2, and which was page 4 of the standing committee amendment number 1, lines 31 through 41.
Okay, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Please proceed.
This eliminates the continuing reserved language that we talked about, and I believe that was the Yagi amendment. I believe that specifically deals with regulating the where the community colleges can spend those reserves. It eliminates the restrictions. The amendment would eliminate the restrictions imposed upon the community college reserve funds. And it was the feeling of the committee at the time when we considered this that we couldn't understand what the benefit to that would be. If they're going to receive these funds, they should be able to spend them, I believe was the logic, on whatever they so choose. And by putting restrictions on that, the committee did not feel that was appropriate. And if the good representative from the western side of the state would like to stand up and defend his amendment, I think that would be completely appropriate, or the good chairman might have some more input as to the discussion on that. I think it's just important that we understand what we're doing before we just adopt a whole battery of amendments. And that was, I believe, the justification of the committee by removing that, was just to continue to allow the community colleges to be able to spend those reserves unrestricted.
Representative Jorgensen, for your first time on Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The purpose of putting that back, the provision for the contingency reserve account, this is an account that's from federal mineral revenues, and as there are monies available, we need to be able to insulate them, if you will, at least until we get through this addressing of the community colleges as a state system and what may result from that. And let me repeat this, no community college has anything to fear from this. This is the intention of this broadly is to address the inequitable funding for the system right now. And in order to do that, we need to pay attention to the sources of funding outside of what we might appropriate. It's in trying to get back to the original intent, and I believe that the good chairman certainly knows more than I do and may be able to add something to my statement. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker.
Chairman McComey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if you'll track in the bill on page 16, right now this language before the amendment in the existing language says that the colleges, this money is will utilizing any reserve derived under Wyoming statute 9-4, which is the $1.6 million of coal lease bonus money, to be for specific use by colleges for emergency repairs and preventive maintenance. That's existing language that says what this should be used for, and that was what it was. And this the task force added the language that says that this will be distributed as a component of the funding allocation model. That was struck, and that was that was existing language that was struck and was put back in, so I didn't read it quite right. It should be to be distributed as a component of the allocation funding allocation model for specific uses by the colleges. And that language was struck, and that language was added, allocated to the community college for specific use, was what was put in there. Then it went on, and this is where some of the colleges had a problem with it. Maintenance, after preventive maintenance, it was of building square footage required for provision of those education programs comprising the statewide college system strategic plan. If the unobligated and unencumbered balance of the contingency reserve account established under this section is at least $35 million, so any unobligated funds of that $1.6 million that weren't used, the colleges didn't need to use for this type of maintenance, would go to build this fund. And in the past, historically, these colleges have had this money, and some of the testimony used that sometimes was used was kind of a stretch to see if it was used for the preventive maintenance and emergency repairs. And that's why this, and there is nothing in the fund. This was to establish the fund, and the fund would grow to that cap.
Madam Majority Whip, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I encourage the body to support Division 1 of the amendment. This part of the amendment ties directly in with our efforts to try and establish some rules, procedures as it affects capital construction. You know, a couple of years ago we entered a new era in here when we started using state dollars to fund community college buildings. And this is a component. This is a piece of it. In the past, we've allowed the colleges to use this money as they wanted to. And this is a step in saying we're going to change the may to shall. We are going to set up this contingency fund to be used specifically for emergency repairs and preventative maintenance based on the building square footage. And I think it's good fiscal policy on our part to move in this direction, and I think it's necessary and I think it's needed. We're entering a new era, a new phase, that if the state's going to start spending money to build buildings, then we need to have this reserve, this contingency fund set up so that we know we have money that we can maintain the buildings that we're starting to build. So I'm on and in favor of this division, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, this is more, I guess I'm asking point of order, that for Division 2 of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, I thought it was line 30 through 41, and then on page 5, it's also 7 through 38. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was just referencing the first part of Division 2 for purposes of Division 1 on this second reading amendment number 1.
Okay, but Division 1 takes care of both of those places.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, Division 2 on the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 yesterday was lines 30 through 41, and then on page 4 and page 5, lines 8 through 39. Representative Edmonds, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm on and against Division 1, but I need some clarification here. So what this division is attempting to do is put all this language back in. What the Education Committee did was take it out. But on page 16 of the white copy, the original bill, when we're talking about, you know, the money allocated to community colleges for specific uses, and then on the last line of the new language of building square footage required for provision of those education programs comprising the statewide college system to strategic plan. My question is, that hasn't been decided yet. So what we're doing, I think, is taking away the right now, today, tomorrow, the community college's ability to use some of these funds. Are they going to have to wait now until we come up with this statewide college system strategic plan? Is there a time frame in place for when that plan's going to actually happen? I mean, obviously, this is going to put the fire underneath him to get it done. And is that part of the strategy here? Is that why we're doing this? And those are my questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1? Representative Meyer, Representative Kraft, did you want to speak? Okay, thank you. Mr. Minority, floor leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I listen to the debate here, I believe I'm on for the amendment to put back the reserve, which creates a revenue stream for the colleges to maintain operation and maintenance of those of their new facilities, which I believe is good fiscal policy.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, could you come forward, please?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. If we stick with the Standing Committee Amendment, we have the old language, which is discretionary, that the Commission may maintain the contingency reserve account utilizing the revenue from these co-lease bonus dollars to be distributed as a component of the funding allocation model for specific use by the colleges for emergency repairs and preventive maintenance. The distinction between the old language and the new language, as I understand it, is that with the new language, it becomes mandatory to maintain the reserve account, and those funds the use of those funds is not just limited to emergency repairs or preventative maintenance. Well, I guess it still would be, but it would be limited to of building square footage required for provision of the programs comprising the strategic plan. So what's the big difference there? We're recognizing the importance of the strategic plan, and those the reserve could only be used to address those issues related to the strategic plan. I'm assuming that those dollars have been used to date to address emergency repairs and preventive maintenance. Why do we want to change that now when we don't have a strategic plan identifying those things? In the next year, would we be restricted from using it for emergency repairs and preventive maintenance? I just wonder here going forward whether in the next year we might want to stick with the current language, and then I like the idea of the reserve account, but I'm not sure it should be restricted as it's written or as it's proposed as it came out of the in the original bill.
Representative Jorgensen, I'll let you answer that question without charging you for an extra time. If without objection, I'll do that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In my opinion, everything in the original bill was intended to utilize the existence of a strategic plan. To get specifically to the question from the good representative from Laramie County, everyone wants this to move on. It's been very slow, and I admit that. And every discussion we had, almost no matter what the topic, came back to the point that we had this charge to identify the state's interest, and we did not have a strategic plan. And I'm used to, as many of you probably are, of hearing people talk about strategic plans like, yeah, that's really good. And usually it takes a long time to develop, and at times I suspect them being obfuscation and delay. This is not the case here. This report has to be done by I believe September 1st, but the good chairman can correct me on that. And it will factor into, number one, the governor's recommendations on next year's budget and the budget that at least comes to you next year for the biennium. Everything in between now, as I understand it, the budget is already approved, and funds for whatever it is can be used for whatever it is until we get into a new budget. But I cannot guarantee that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Pedersen, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to speak real quick about some of the intention of some of the old language and really what its purpose was. And I know we've kind of danced around it, but really we're talking about getting out of the business of what we've always talked about, getting out of the business of funding residence halls and student unions. Because is that what we should be funding? A state should be funding something like a biology lab, something even like a fine arts building, something that is going to move education forward, and it should be on the onus of somebody else to fund the individual residence halls of the college itself. That was the question. And so once you take on the piece of what is our statewide strategy, what is that? That hopefully will develop itself in there, but I would remind you that we end up with two different timelines. The community college was put in statute, charged with a timeline that ended next summer. And then the task force was charged with a timeline that ended in November. And so what we did is we based it on open language that says, okay, we're going to develop this, and this needs to be approved by us. So it's not wide open. We're not just saying whatever you come up with is fine. But they're going to continue to work, and this moves us towards developing that statewide strategic plan as it all comes together. And that's the delay. That's to, you know, hopefully explain to everybody that's the offset point. And so they didn't have the money to go get all of the consultants ready to say that this is what it should be. They didn't have an extra $300,000-$400,000 set aside to decide what a statewide strategic plan is and to get the feedback, because they had a longer time horizon. I'm speaking of the community college commission and not the task force. And so what we did is we laid the groundwork that will then, you know, essentially lay out the holes that they'll slide in, you know, the triangular block and the square block. You know, I'm thinking the way my kids think in the morning as we're stacking blocks at my house, and the circular block and all these other things. And so we will line all that up. This will lay the foundation for that. And really, it's about defining what are we going to do as a state. Any building? And it's also to give them surety. Five kids graduate from high school in the state. You get one is going to go to the fine university that I attended 45 miles from here just over the hill. One is not going to go to school and is going to go directly in the workforce. And three are going to community colleges. Community colleges are the driver of the workforce in the state of Wyoming. We are constitutionally bound to fund K through 12. We are constitutionally bound to fund the University of Wyoming, and we just, if we feel like it,
point of order, Mr. Speaker, I believe we're talking specifically about the contingency reserve accounts with the coal lease bonus dollars.
Yeah, let's try and keep it to that. Thank you.
And it's going to get really confusing. I think we're already confused enough, and I appreciate your comments. They're very valid, but
that's what I'm here for.
Confusion? Okay. Representative Yagi, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and appreciate Representative Peters bringing that up. We are not talking about the building funds, but we are talking about the contingency reserve. And these funds are pretty well, they're tied up in what they can be used for. They're very restrictive, and they have to be accountable for these. But what they use these for are the emergency repairs and preventative maintenance that comes up, and the colleges are just worried about the threats to personal safety, the threats to the structural integrity, and the threats to the environment. And by having these funds available, they're able to do this right now, and taking these funds away will not give them that ability. So this is why the amendment number one came up, so they would have this contingency fund and be able to use these funds as they need them right now. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time on Division One? Anyone for their second time prior to the chairman? Representative Teeters, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to try and crystallize this one more time for the body so we know what we're voting on. Essentially, we have $1.6 million of coal bid bonus dollars that are currently being distributed to the community colleges. If you vote no on this amendment, you're wanting to leave that unrestricted. Okay, if you vote aye on this amendment, you agree that we need to create an account and begin to put restrictions on it. And that's the best way that I can clarify it for you at this point.
Representative Yagi, for your second time.
Just a point of order. I forgot to say that I am against this division, so I'm speaking against this. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, what we need to remember is this bill does not take effect until the next biennium. The colleges are already funded. The 1.6, this would not affect the 1.6 for this biennium. It goes on from this period on. And what I liked about this part of the bill is what we've done, and the Speaker talked about it, we've struck the language that sets up this account. This $35 million account that we were hoping to have some money to put into, and I mentioned this briefly yesterday when I was explaining the bill, so we could have some money to put into this account to jumpstart it, so we could get some things going when we needed it for the colleges. We all have all kinds of emergencies that have come up, like happened at Torrington, shouldn't say that, the college just up the road and up in Powell, or the college way up the hill up by the Speaker's place. They've had some emergency situations. So that's, and this money, they could use some of this money. Now, you have to remember, this money is distributed to these colleges based upon the existing major maintenance formula. And that isn't going to change regardless of what we do with this. So this is what I was looking at. And this would, in the next biennium, restrict how the colleges would have to use this money for what we felt was intended for. And so that's why the task force came up with the language that you see in front of you. I think I'm for the amendment.
The chair would appreciate clarification on the effective date of this. Representative Edmonds,
Mr. Speaker, that's exactly what I was going to ask. I see on the back the effective date is July of this year. So are the restrictions effective this year, but the money, just a clarification.
Chairman McComey, can you clarify, please?
Yes, if you look through the bill, there's three or four different dates that things kick into effect. And I'd have to check on this particular one. Maybe I misspoke. Let me look real fast.
Chairman,
but there's at least three different dates in the bill so that everything can go forward.
Chairman McComey, on Section 8 of the bill, page 34, lines 15 through 16, and then subsection B, the way I read this section we're talking about would be effective July 1, 2009. So on a point of order there, if you could just... Section 1 of the bill begins on page 2 and goes over to page 9, then that begins Section 2.
Mr. Speaker, I believe Section B that is talking about here, except as provided subsection B of this section, and subsection B of this section is 8, is down here, except as provided in this. B is the only one that wouldn't be effective immediately.
Chairman,
I don't know.
Section 8B on page 34, in everything in B would be effective immediate. Sections 4 and 7, A, B, D, E, and F, and G. Everything else is effective July 109.
And Mr. Speaker, I think this was referring to the appropriation part of the bill here. That's what I was getting at. As you look forward the bill, through the bill on page 29, there's another date for a period commencing July the 1st and ending July the 30th. So there are several different dates through the bill that go into effect. The funding for the colleges, and that includes the 1.6, the co-lease bonus money, has already been appropriated, I believe, and that's why I said what I said about that date.
Mr. Speaker, my position, point of order...
Representative Teeters, please.
...is that it is actually July 1st, and the appropriations are staggered out to different dates, but I believe that this part of the bill is implemented July 1st, 2009. That's the way I... have read the bill the entire time, unless I can be corrected.
That would be the interpretation of the chair. Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Ladies and gentlemen, I had handed out to you a one sheet that shows the portions of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 and Committee of the Whole that passed. So these are the passed portions of the Standing Committee Number 1 on Committee of the Whole. Mr. Minority Floor Leader, for your second time.
Just, and I hate to belabor the point, I need to ask a question. By passing this portion of the amendment, do we determine what buildings will be repaired or put in a mode of preventive maintenance, or does local trustees do that? Just a question.
Representative Jorgensen for your second time.
Mr. Speaker, I cannot address that question. I believe the good chairman has gone to get some assistance.
Representative Jorgensen, would you like to address the other issues that were brought up?
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And I guess the issue that's been clearly brought up to me, again, is the difficulty of this issue and the lack of broad understanding of what it is we're trying to do. And I guess that's the momentum for getting the statewide strategic plan. Our charge was very specific. Identify a statewide strategic plan for those interests of the community college system which should be funded by the state. And it's a parallel to the situation of our other institution of higher learning where these issues have already been set up, they've already been addressed, their money's in their budget, one amount is for generally accepted items of importance that's fully supported by the state. The second one are more or less enterprise funds for things like residence halls and the student center and food service. And we don't have that. And we're getting into an area where the state is going to be asked for heavy funding for community colleges. The easiest one to deal with, frankly, was the construction of buildings. To go back to the discussions we've had just today about emergency events, the way we've dealt with that in the past, the two that I recall, one was an issue of mold in a dormitory, I believe, and the other was the destruction of a dormitory, and it came straight to the state, and I believe it was funded by the state on more or less an ad hoc basis. We're trying to look ahead. We're trying to prepare the scene for a better approach to addressing the state's interest in community colleges. The local interests in community colleges are somewhat dependent on the way they're funded right now. I also believe that will change before we're through, and that will be to the benefit of all. So I guess I would, lacking any other information that the good chairman may have discovered, I would still support moving ahead. If there's a technical problem with the effective date, I'll yield to whatever that opinion is. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Chairman McComey, would you please just address the effective date issue?
Yes, I checked with the LSO, and the July the 1st, 2009 date is correct on this particular part of the bill.
We are voting on Division 1 to Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 114. An aye vote is to delete the Standing Committee Amendment and go back to the original language in the bill on page 16.
Point of order, Mr.
Excuse
Speaker.
Me, Representative Teeters.
Yeah, if we vote no on this, we're going to go back to the current way that we deal with the coal lease bonus dollars, which is that the reserves are not restricted. If we vote aye on this amendment, then we are going to adopt the position that we are going to put restrictions, which was the proposal of the bill as it came to education. To begin with.
That's right. That's what I was intending to convey, is that if you vote aye, excuse me, just one second. Yeah. The handout that you have, the one pager, Division 1, would delete everything that was passed yesterday on the Standing Committee Amendment, specifically with regard to this issue of the reserve fund on pages 16 and 17. It would go back to the language originally proposed in the bill. Is everybody clear on that? So, The division one is to delete the first House Standing Committee amendment, which is everything on this page that was just handed out to you. We have been focused on the discussion about pages 16 and 17 in the reserve account, but the division goes beyond that to other parts of the bill.
That's correct, Mr. Speaker.
Right. So we have been focused on this reserve issue. So does everyone understand what you're voting on? An aye vote is to delete everything on the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 that was passed yesterday. No vote is to stick with the divisions that were passed yesterday in Standing Committee Amendment number 1. So all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Division number 1 to second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 114 has failed. We are on division number 2. Representative Jorgensen, would you like to address that?
Mr. Speaker, I'd prefer that a more knowledgeable person with the issue speak to it, and I'd ask the chairman to speak to it. Number 2.
Representative Stewart, would you please have privilege of the floor?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would love to have privilege of the floor and take this opportunity to enliven our vigorous debate on education and ask you to welcome the entire Elk Mountain Elementary School today. And further, I would like to tell all of you that Elk Mountain School received a very prestigious award this year. Looking at the colors of their shirts would tell you that they won the Blue Ribbon Award for our state this year. To just further explain that this is an award for achievement and excellence with regard to our No Child Left Behind. And it just reaffirms what we all know, that small schools in Wyoming can get it right. And thank you for coming. Welcome to
Welcome.
The house.
Welcome. What is the mascot? What is the mascot for the Elk Mountain Elementary School? The snowplow? No. Welcome. It's great to have you all here today. Great to be here. Now that we're all thoroughly confused, we are back on Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1, which is lines 5 through 10 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1. And that you use your bill rather than the engrolled copy on page 9, where it just deletes a reference, and then page 19 is the substance of it, where it deletes that section. So the amendment is, because it was deleted yesterday in the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, it looks to me as though the division is deleting something that's already been deleted. I'm not sure we need division 2.
Mr. Speaker, point of order. I would agree. I think that this division is not needed. We took care of this in the Standing Committee Amendment. So I guess I would urge unless the person who brought the Standing Committee Amendment is trying to do something else.
Representative Jorgensen, are you intending to put that language back in or keep it out?
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm not intending to put that back in.
Okay, so it already has been deleted. Mr. Representative Jorgensen, would you withdraw Division 2?
Mr. Speaker, I do withdraw Division 2.
Thank you. Division 2 is withdrawn. We are on Division 3 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1, to House Bill 114. Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to again defer to the good chairman. Thank you.
Division 3 are lines 11 through 29. I'm sorry, I meant Division 3. We are on Division 3, lines 11 through 29 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, we inadvertently deleted some of the with the Appropriations Committee's amendments. We took some of the language out that set up when we were taking out the money. We took out the mechanisms whereby the Community College Commission and the community colleges and the Division of A&I's Construction Management Division were to work together and were to how they were supposed to gel. So this restores that language back in the bill and would restore even the appropriations. In conversations that we've had with people downstairs and other places, this money wouldn't be spent unless there was money appropriated for the community colleges. So even though there would be, and I passed out a sheet with you the other day that had some of these monies that were stripped out, this money would be put back in, but it wouldn't be spent because there wouldn't be the people there working on the projects and doing the things. But when we did that, we struck all of the wording that sets up the mechanism in addition to the funding.
Ladies and gentlemen, Division 3 simply reinserts the language on those pages and on those lines. They go back into the bill because we deleted them, all of those, yesterday in the second standing committee amendment. Anyone else for their first time? Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We currently don't have any money in the capital construction account that we're creating, and this section allows for an appropriation to prioritize those requests. Now, if there aren't any requests, I'm not real sure why we need to appropriate the money, because there's no money in the CapCon. So I guess I'm indifferent to it, but I would just soon urge the committee to vote no, and then we will have another $250,000 we can spend on other things.
Representative Stebson, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, maybe this is a point of order, but it appears that Divisions 3 and 4 deal with sort of one chunk of text, one on page 29 and one on page 30, so I'm wondering if that is divisible or whether it should just be one division, 3 and 4.
I'm sorry, I didn't know there was a Division 4.
Maybe I was dividing too much. Is Division 3 lines 11 through 18 of the...
11 through 29.
Mr. Speaker.
Yes, Representative Teeters.
I actually did divide each of these standing committee amendments into separate divisions, but at this point I have no preference. If we want to consider lines 11 through 29 and be done with this, that's fine.
Is that an amendment to your division?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Division 3, the third and final division, are lines 11 through 29 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1. Correct, Representative Teeters?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. This will restore the funding to the community college planning monies, which are the Level 1 and Level 2 monies for all the CapCon projects. And it also restores the monies for A&I on the premise that he'll only spend it when necessary, and that's what we were talking about before. If we do appropriate the first part of that, then they'll be able to use that money for planning only, but only when the money arrives.
So Division 3 restores all the funding, even though it restores all the funding.
It restores the planning funding, Mr.
Right.
Speaker.
Thank you. Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Berger.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you have me all confused. But based on the discussion in appropriations, the reason that it was stripped was that they would not be strategically building or planning. But from the conversation we've had this morning, it allows them that opportunity if the plan comes before the group and it's decided that it will be implemented, that they could then, if through all the appropriate channels, plan and construct or propose with approval. So I think they do need to have some latitude to be able to do that, and it's up to the body, but I would say that we probably do need to allow it in that account to go forward with the planning. So vote yes.
No, the third division is lines 11 through 29. Anyone else for their first time? For your second time? Chairman McComey, did you want a second time? Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, all this does is restore the language and sets up what we had in place. It restores the money, but the money will not be used. It would be like putting in the legislative reserve account, because it can't be spent if there's not the demand on it. And if in fact you have a problem with that, and we could look at that later, we could bring a third reading amendment that dealt strictly with the funding and where it was. But I would urge the body to vote yes on this.
Anyone else for their second time? Representative Jorgensen for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I appreciate everyone's comments, particularly those that permitted the combination of whatever is 11 through 29 or 28. I think, to me, this further identifies the big problem with this. And I guess if you can't say anything better about this portion or this division than this, that it provides, I hope, some reassurance to the body that the state is serious about taking on the issue of CapCon and community colleges and addressing it fairly. The involvement of the construction management group did not go over well necessarily with the University of Wyoming, who's had a long, the four-year institution, which has a long history of having their own construction management personnel. We did intersperse, if you will, the state facilities group, and it has helped. We're just trying to get ready for what we all know is coming. I urge you to support this division. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are in Division 3 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 114, lines 11 through 29 of the amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading, or Division Number 3 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 has passed. House Bill 114, having been read to...
Excuse me.
Representative Patton.
Mr. Chairman, can I have privilege to the floor?
You may, please.
Very quickly, members, once again this week it's my honor to have some folks from my community, Windward Tribal College students, right behind you there. Would you welcome them to the Wyoming House?
Welcome to the House. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, am a little confused. Should I discuss this on the basis of the original bill or on the Enrolled Act? I'm prepared to do either.
I believe the original bill is easier to track.
On page 22, lines 24, page 23, line 1, page 23, line 6, we are deleting that language, which has to do with the acceptance of the strategic plan by the several community colleges, and inserting the trying to make it a little bit easier, but inserting on page 23, line 14, college presidents, and insert, we're deleting college presidents and inserting the language, the district board designee, so that the board itself could appoint as their representative for that function the college president or the chairman of the board or a designee of their choice. If I'm prepared for any questions. Hearing none, I
believe. Representative Patton, would you please move the amendment?
And I move the adoption of the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are in second reading, amendment number 2 to House Bill 114. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading, amendment number 2 has passed. House Bill 114, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Miller.
Privilege of the floor, Mr.
Please
Speaker.
Proceed.
Mr. Speaker, it's not often I get some of my children here, but please welcome the former messenger from 6 or 8 years ago and the former page on the floor last year, Amy and Scott Miller.
Welcome, Amy and Scott. It's always nice to see you. Welcome back to the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to professions and occupations regarding athletic trainers' licensing.
House Bill 152, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 222.
House Bill 222, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to the establishment of private roads.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 222. It's merely a technical correction to the language in the previous amendment, and I would urge its adoption.
Anyone else for their first time on second reading amendment number 1? Anyone else for their second time? We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 222. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 222 has passed. House Bill 222, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 223.
House Bill 223, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to education regarding bullying prevention.
House Bill 223, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 229.
House Bill 229, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to court security reimbursement.
House Bill 229, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 234.
House Bill 234, introduced by Representative Patton, an act relating to taxation and revenue, property tax assessed value.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move amendment number 1 to House Bill 234. That said, if you can find it, it's in your box, it wasn't in your drawer. And this particular amendment, fundamentally what it does, I am enthralled with the proposal that's been brought forward to us by the good senator, from the good representative from Sheridan. And what I would suggest to you, if you fully understand the averaging of our property taxes and the fact that the way that the bill is written, it only averages the amounts and takes out the spikes that go up. And when the amount that's assessed goes down, there is no effect or loss of money to our local governments or to those entities which benefit from our property tax. And so the bill before you, what it does is it says that the $23 million, which we are currently in the current bill, would be taken from your with your goldenrod. That would be profiled and put in an account and saved. So fundamentally, it doesn't put it into our legislative service, our stabilization account. It doesn't make it available for anything else you may be thinking about. What it does is it makes it, takes it off the table and saves it just in case we would need to backfill. And so because this is a complicated issue, excuse me as I slowly explain to you what I think the revenue picture will be with regard to property tax in the next few years. As I said a few days ago, the property tax that you pay this year is based on your assessed valuation last year. And the assessed valuation this year is what you'll be paying in 2010. we will be meeting again in 2010, and we will have a better picture of what's happening to all of the property value. But all of the experts in Wyoming at this point think that as we go forward and within the next year, the property values will remain stagnant or decline. That said, you will not need any money whatsoever in this account. And for that reason, I bring this proposal to you. This is for 1 year, basically, until 2010, until we meet again, saying that we're going to implement this statute, but we don't need to save $23 million.
Representative Hammonds, there appears to be an error on the amendment, page 8, or excuse me, line 8. It says page 3, line 4. I think that should read page 3, line 9.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Would you agree?
I'd make a technical correction.
You've heard the motion. Does any? It says on line 8 of the amendment, page 3, line 4, and that should be page 3, line 9. Any objection? The technical amendment then is passed. Line 8 of the amendment reads page 3, line 9. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You took away my first discussion. I'm not speechless, however. When I came down here with my past, I came down with the understanding that I really dislike unfunded mandates coming from the federal government and having those grow disproportionately into the interference of the state's abilities. Likewise, then, and with some continuum of that, I was certain that I wanted to make sure that we, the legislature, addressed the unfunded mandates as it relates to education, county government, and city government. Therefore, I asked for the calculation as best as could be done. And as inaccurate as that is, inherent in the fact that we're dealing with a moving target, and that is, what is the assessed valuation of Roman numeral number 3 in Article 11? And by virtue of that, we came up with the figure that you see in the bill, and that was $23,900,000. And thus, it was placed there, and as it was heard and understood by the Appropriations Committee, irrespective of the date, that cost may potentially be there. So I ask your indulgence, and the indulgence being that without doubt, this legislature, the House and the Senate, will not send to the people an expenditure of some close to $60 million to exercise the two bills, one that you have already passed and one that was passed by the Committee of the Whole. I am certain that the Senate, and particularly the re-referral, as I have been assured, by the Appropriations Committee, will address this and make sure that we would not be providing funds for an act that won't be implemented during this biennial session. So with that that statement and then the request of your indulgence, I ask you respectfully that you defeat this proposed amendment.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would support the amendment on the basis that it's a guess whether we're going to need that money or not. If indeed you want to save it, then defeat the amendment. If you want to put it away in savings so we can't use it for any other, which is not all bad. Certainly, I'm usually for those things. However, I think this is money that is one of those deals where you were going to get $10, but now the new appropriation says you're going to get $20, so we get it back to $10 and we've cut you $20. That's kind of what the deal is on it, as far as I'm concerned.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On against the amendment, and this bill is already profiled in our goldenrod today. Again, I think, you know, some of the arguments for this amendment are that maybe, you know, that if the date stays the same, the enactment date, that was changed in one standing committee amendment, that could easily be changed again, maybe on third reading tomorrow, maybe as it goes through the process. I think it's important to keep this money attached to the bill because it says It gives us and then our fellow folks down the hall a chance to clearly compare what we want and how much it costs. We pass this along, it's like, well, this, we could take this one because it doesn't cost us anything. Well, then it doesn't give us relief for a year that got delayed down the road. I just think it's good budget policy to line this up against all the other priorities. Then you can see a couple tax reduction policies lined up against highways, against mental health substance abuse, against DD waivers, against all the things we care about. And then we can have those arguments as we as it works through the process. But I think it would be premature to pull this money from this policy at this point in time. So I urge you to vote against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to support this amendment. And one of the reasons, obviously, and if you'll look at your committee of the whole amendment, we actually changed the enactment date on this to 2010. So I, and of course, you know, the discussion of funded and unfunded mandates, you know, funded mandates and unfunded mandates only last as long as the current legislative body, and then we all switch up every 2 years. I think it's reasonable. I don't think there's any problem with it. This isn't going to start until 2010. I think it's a good idea.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to vote against this amendment, and because I hear on the floor we're going to save the money, we're going to spend the money. I don't know what we'll do with it, but I think if we're going to pass the bill, we ought to have the dollars to go along with the bill. And so I'd urge you to vote no on this amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am also on and against the amendment for the reasons that have already been expressed. But I just feel when it comes to any of these bills that provide property tax relief, I think it's to the benefit of this body that we're very clear in our language that there will be money there if we need to reimburse local governments. And so, and I think it's a good idea to have it profiled and on there and to make it very clear to them. And if you'll look in the bill, these funds, they do lapse or can revert after June 30th of 2011. So on and against the amendment.
Chairman Cohey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also am on and against this amendment. You know, the local governments really didn't commit much one way or the other. They mentioned in, for your information, that should the state consider some form of broad tax relief in any way, that they certainly would be backfilled. That was their conversation. At this point, to come along and in the middle of this bill on second reading and realizing it's only halfway through the process, and they would have certainly some say, should this be sent to the other house without funding in it, that they could potentially have that conversation down there. But at this point, a deal has more or less been struck with the conversation with the local governments that, look, whatever you do, we respect that you're you're the legislative branch of the state, and we recognize that you're going to do whatever the public will is, but certainly don't make us pay the price for it.
Representative Mann.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in support of this amendment, and the reason I'm in support of it is I think that it clears the issue instead of confuses it. I'm afraid if this goes west, on the west side of the building here, and we've got this one appropriated and the other one, 68 appropriated at the same time, they're going to say, well, we have to pick one or the other. And that's clearly not the approach we were taking yesterday. The arguments were made that they complement one another. The bill that we're talking about now is for a longer run period of time. The appropriation doesn't even apply to the same year, and it would be inappropriate for us to compare an appropriation in this bill against the merits of the appropriation of the other Homestead bill that actually applies to another year. So I urge your support of this amendment.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to urge support of the amendment. And it's for one reason mainly. It would give tax relief, property tax relief, or tax relief, I should say, in the next biennial budget discussion, sort of an inherent advantage over the other needs which were referred to by one of the speakers, whether they be health, highways, education. And we really should look at the whole thing when we do the biennial budget. The fact of guaranteeing property tax or any tax relief at a time when we are all aware of the unstable nature of our state taxation system does not seem proper to me. Everything ought to be on the table every time. We ought to retain a clear ability to pick up these items and address them on their own. So I would support this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Mercer, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I am very, very rarely on any bills that talk about money because sometimes, as we're talking about percentages and all this math and all these numbers, I get a little confused. This bill is very simple, it's very clear, and it's very sensible, and it's something that I can understand, something my mother can understand, something my neighbor can understand, and we need to send forward a complete package, a complete workable package as we move forward. We can speculate all day on how dates might change, and this might change, and that might change. We need to send forward a workable package, and I would ask for you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, for your
thank
first
time. Thank you. On and against the amendment because I'm not sure I'm understanding fully the arguments in support of it in terms of not needing the money. Is it that we don't need the money for 2009, but we do need it for 2010? We do need it for 2010. That's the way the bill's written as amended in the committee, in the second standing committee amendment yesterday, which rewrote Section 3 and uses the year 2010. And we did a technical amendment on page 3, line 5, and changed it to 2010. So we're obligated to reimburse under the bill as it's written for property taxes levied and assessed in calendar year 2010. That means you get your assessment in April of 2010, your taxes become due, and you can pay part of your 2010 taxes in 2011, but if you elect to pay all of your 2010 taxes in that year, then the local governments are going to see that tax loss in that tax year, 2010. If the point is we don't need the money this year, we need it next year, then I've lost the point, I guess, of it. If the point is we're just not going to backfill at all, then that's clearly what the amendment does. We don't backfill, and I'm opposed to that. Thanks. Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Speaker, it's with great trepidation that I disagree with you. I happen to think that the government is made up of both the national and the state and the local municipalities. And what happens is when we have decreased funds and we continue to do hold harmless backfill, I think long term you end up hurting cities, towns, and counties more. Picture this for a second. We continue to hold them harmless all the way through multiple raises every year. Now let's say that next biennium we come in and we have even less money. So now instead of taking a 10% haircut, they take a 20% haircut because we've continued to add more to it. It's just a fundamental question on all the different hold harmless pieces that you do, but I submit that to you. The longer we hold harmless as our income goes down, the net greater hit to cities, towns, and counties that you're going to have. And so I would rise in support of this amendment for different reasons than a lot of everybody else, but I think it's going to be far more difficult for us if we don't come at this in little pieces to come at this in a big swatch.
Chairman McComey, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, this bill does not have an expiration date. This is a new policy on how we do property taxes. As I read this bill, it looks to me like this is a different form of a cap. And as such, I'm a little concerned about, and I'm an old city guy, but when does this all roll out in this new tax policy kick in and we all share the pain if that's what we're looking at doing for our citizens? So I'm really torn whether to be an aye or an nay on this amendment, but I think with this new policy, I'm going to think that we need to backfill it, so I guess I'm going to be a nay on the amendment.
Chairman Berger, for your first time.
Thank you very much. I figured, Mr. Speaker, I needed to stand up because then that completes the Appropriations Committee on the amendment or on the floor. And I would ask the body to vote against this amendment. You're right about the fact that we're obligating some money here. But the fact is we've sent another bill to discuss property tax relief. This is another avenue for property tax relief. And I think if we're going to send this out of this body, that it needs to have the money appropriated. And then at the end of the day, a decision will be made as to the priority of what direction we'll take on property tax relief. So on and against the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, would you come up for a moment, please? Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Chairman Anderson.
One thing need to be very clear. The local governments will never under this bill receive less money than they did the year before. If it goes down, they will not receive any less. They always get as much as they got last year. Sometimes they won't get as much as they expected because the property values have gone up that year. And the average, if it's gone up 3 years in a row, the average will be lower than what the property values is. But you want to remember, they'll never get less than what they did the year before. So you're not, what are you going to backfill? They're getting just as much as they always did. That's the basis of the debate as far as I'm concerned. You want to remember, we're backfilling usually when they're going to get less, but they're not going to get less than they got the year before, ever, under this bill.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I'm again confused. We've got a fiscal year that begins June 1 and a tax year that begins December 1. If our 09 fiscal year, which we're in now, well, no, we're not in our 09 fiscal year yet. How does that relate to the 2010 tax year? Oh, I don't know. A point of information, does anyone know? Representative Hammonds? No, can anyone address that question? Chairman Cohey, excuse me. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't answer your question. What I can say is that the answer to the question, to be on the safe side, is to vote no on this amendment.
That was for your second time, Representative Patton. Representative Hammonds, for your second time.
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. I didn't hear your question. Somebody was talking to me when you asked it, and I probably don't know the answer anyway, but.
The question was, how does the fiscal year relate to the tax year?
For local government's fiscal year relate to the tax year? I don't know. Okay. And I don't know that it's relevant, actually.
Okay. Representative Hammonds.
And I'm sorry, I'll find out for you after we finish this. This has been interesting to me, and the reason I brought the amendment is because the assumption all along when we were debating this in the committee on which I serve was that, oh, all of these property tax related bills have an appropriation with them. Let's not really talk about the appropriation part, and let's just send them all over to the other body. And even though we fully understood that the bill we talked about previously, the homestead property tax exemption program, would take effect immediately, and that the bill before you would take effect the year after that, we didn't care. We said, let's treat them all the same and let's send them on, and we'll let the other body solve it. And so the reason I brought this amendment is that I just had a wild hair and I thought, gosh, could we solve this in this body? Could we come to a decision about it before we send it over there and let them sort it out? And so that's why I brought it. So what I want to try again is to explain to you why I think this is a good idea. For those of you who are new to this body, I happen to be from one of the poorest counties in the state, and never would I ever entertain the idea of sticking my local government with less taxes. I would never be associated with something like that. And so what I bring to you with this amendment is simply a banker, a business, a budget decision that has to do with, if you're starting a new program, you have to have a realistic idea about how much money it's going to cost you. And what I am contending with this amendment is this new program in the year 2010 will cost you $0. And that's because when you go to do the averaging of these 3 years, for your 2010 taxes, you will include the real assessed valuation from the year 2009, this year, the year 2008, and the year 2007. Now, we all know that property taxes went up in 2007 and 2008. So, if in fact 2009 remains flat, there will be zero tax consequence with the adoption of this bill. Because what this bill does is it only affects property taxes when you are going up. And we may not be going down, but we're at least holding stable. And so that's why the people who've been speaking in support of it are hopeful that you will understand that there will not be a backfill issue, there will not be a loss to our local governments if we adopt this, and we don't set aside $23 million. And so some of the arguments that I've heard is, let's just have an indulgence, let's set aside $23 million. Next week, this body will be debating the budget, and you will be talking about $100,000 here, $250,000 here, $1 million here. I sit on appropriations, and I know what all of the dollars are. And what you're doing is you're decreasing all of your ideas by $23 million with this, which would be fine if we really needed $23 million. But in fact, we don't need any dollars in it. And so I'm asking the House to make that decision until waiting until we send it to the other body and asking them to make that determination. I would ask your support of the amendment.
Thank you. We're on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 234. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 234 has passed. House Bill 234 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 242.
House Bill 242, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to motor vehicles regarding the definition of off-road vehicle.
House Bill 242 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 261.
House Bill 261, introduced by Representative Bagby, an act relating to the Department of Corrections regarding mandatory savings accounts for inmates.
House Bill 261 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 271.
House Bill 271, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to Medicaid, speech, and audiology services.
House Bill 271 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that we stand in recess until 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. We are in recess until 1:30. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now in House 18. We're going to finish discussing House Bill 294, Prescription Drug Database, House Bill 295, Western States Energy and Environment Symposium, House Bill 314, Decommissioning of Wind Turbines, and if there's time, House Bill 305, Reduced Cigarette Ignition.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet tonight, February 5th, upon adjournment in room H-17 to discuss House Bill 197, Breast Cancer License Plate, House Bill 211, Veterans License Plates, House Bill 125, Establishment of Highways, House Bill 267, Commercial Motor Vehicles Definitions, and, if time allows, House Bill 276, Transportation Funding Material Cost Increases, House Bill 310, Safety Belt Violations, and House Bill 256, Use of Cell Phones While Driving.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in H-18. We'll consider the following bills. HB 303, a continuation of the discussion on Wyoming First Children's Finance Authority, House Bill 313, Licensing of Employer Daycare Facilities, House Bill 36, Sales Information by Telecommunications Companies, HB 026, Workforce Services Amendment, House Joint Resolution 11, Wind Energy Royalties, and if time allows, House Bill 216, Post-Dated Check Cashing, House Bill 158, Study of Recapture of Value-Added Energy Resources, House Bill 81, Public Buildings, Energy and Environment Design, House Bill 28, Alternate Energy, House Bill 282, Wyoming Business Council Reporting, House Bill 292, Mortgage Insurance, and House Bill 27, Storage of Explosives.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Friday upon noon recess in room H-10, where we will take up House Bill 254, Curriculum Choice, and 259, Charter Schools Authorizer.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in H-8 to take up House Joint Resolution 18, Refusal to Accept Restrictions on Firearms, House Bill 289, Child Protection Hearings, and House Bill 293, Time Limits for Bail.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet tomorrow morning in H-11 at 7:30 a.m. to consider House Bill 277, Homestead Exemption County Option, House Bill 304, Lodging Tax Statewide Imposition, House Bill 287, Mahelium Ad Valorem Tax, Property Tax, 272, Ethanol Tax Credit, and if we have time, we'll also consider 315, Property Sales Tax Exemption Repeal, House Bill 290, Tax Increment Financing, and House Bill 37, Veterans Exemption.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet Friday morning, February the 6th at 7 a.m., in room H10 to consider House Bill 302, Game and Fish Pioneer Licenses, House Bill 136, State Legal Action, NEPA and ESA, House Bill 170, Wyoming Lottery for Education.
Any other announcements? We're in recess. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your House Appropriations Committee, too, will meet upon noon adjournment to continue hearing House Bill 299.
We're in recess until 1:30.